Hi there, folks. Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony, and I'm coming to you from New Zealand on a summer's morning. And with me today, I have someone who I have not had on the show for a few years. I don't even remember when the last time I had him on, and that's Mark Sutherland. And Mark, you are, of course, in the depths of winter in England. So welcome back.
Good to be here, Tony. Lovely to see you and to join you on this summer's day on your side of the world. But yes, it's good to be with you.
It is. It's like I say, it's been a long time since we last had you on. And I don't know what the weather's like there, but it's been pretty crazy the last couple of days. We had yesterday wasn't so bad, but the day before it was just incredibly hot and windy, and all at once. It's unusual. I'm not used to kind of New Zealand doesn't tend to be all that hot really in the summer, and but to have wind and very high temperatures at once was pretty crazy. So we'll see what today brings. It's still in the morning here, and but it's the evening where you are, so there's a big time difference as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's just after 8 when we're recording this, so yeah, it's quite a big time difference. And when you're saying about the weather, yeah, we've had a lot of snow in various parts of the country, rain, and another massive storm on the south coast with Cornwall. So yeah, it's been pretty interesting, Tony, on the weather front, I have to say.
And that seems to be, you know, happening all over the globe, really, in terms of weather, strange weather and things. But anyway, I don't know exactly what you want to talk about today. I'm sure I'm interested, and I'm sure other people will be interested to know what's happening in the UK, particularly with things like the digital ID and different things. So yeah. I will, you know, let you run with wherever you want to take it anyway.
Okay, no, Tony, brilliant. I think, you know, we haven't spoken before, you know, Charlie Vector 19 incidents. So and all that madness and shutting down of the world. And we haven't really spoken since then. Would just like to lock down your countries and totally destroy them. And as you are aware, on the 4th of July 2024, we had an election, and after 14 years of, I'll just do this, a Conservative government, we've then just elected a bunch of Fabians, you know, society just founded in 1885, the wolf in sheep's clothing logo, the webs, people like Bertrand Russell writing a book in 1912, bestowing the delights of communism. And that's that, as far as I'm concerned, Tony, and I'm not being clever, that is where I believe we are at. I mean, we've had in the Attlee government after the Second World War, and if we just go back to that, Churchill was running the war, and Clement Attlee was running the country. Clement Attlee, Labour, Churchill, Conservative. And Clement Attlee, within his government, had many members of the Fabian Society that were members of Parliament. Then if you go to Tony Blair's first administration in 1997, how many members of those were Fabians? And Tony, what is fascinating to me is observing certain aspects of the mainstream news. If you then take that cycle out, where people that aren't as mainstream but are definitely seen as mainstream, they have been having that discussion about, I think the government's a bunch of Fabians. Something's going on here. This isn't right. They're communism. They're communists. And as you know, you know, this whole aspect, socialism leads to communism. So this government, to go on about the fact that the economy's increased by 0.7% is growing. That's not growth. Unemployment's going up. People are being screwed financially left, right and centre. We've got people like Ed Miliband in the Parliament who think it's fantastic to let's get more and more windmills, let's get solar panels all over. Now, a load of these policies have come in under the previous Conservative government. So I'm not just going to blame them. And to be honest, when we talk about a Conservative government, as far as I'm concerned, they're not Conservatives. They're liberal progressives, many of them dressed up in blue. And the Conservatives with the last election got completely and utterly annihilated, and Labour came in with a big majority. However, let's just underline something that's really important, because I think this is being reflected maybe around the world. 39.8% of people in the UK that were out of people eligible to vote, 39.8% didn't bother to vote. So you're looking at 40% of people not participating. So this Labour government came in by default. And Tony, I'm not making this up. And this is all relevant to, in many ways, with what is happening in Iran. And we need to be praying for the people in Iran and praying for their safety, and that the regime will fall, in my opinion. Pray for that. But we're suddenly talking about the 1979 revolution, the red-green axis. With, as far as I'm concerned, we're seeing that unfold of the streets of this country, which since the attack on the 7th of October, and I just put a caveat, I was in Israel twice last year. One of those occasions was with our mutual friend, John Haller, as well, as we attended the Christian Media Summit. So we've seen all these River to the Sea marches on the streets of London and other cities in this country. If you ask them what river, what sea, they wouldn't know. Sorry, I'm going all over the place, but this is just to paint you a bit of a picture of the state of things. And after lockdown, you know, our country was basically, as far as I'm concerned, bankrupt, inflation through the roof. So we can trace so many things there. So we're not, Tony, we are not in a good place whatsoever. I mean, the other big event, and we haven't, of course, we haven't spoken for some time, but we've had the Queen die, you know, King Charles come in. Yes, well, there's a lot to discuss there. So then, of course, WEF, him opening the WEF conference. We've had, you know, COP, all the climate change nonsense conferences. There was a big one in Glasgow over here. So we've had all of these issues full pelt. And it is fascinating to see, when we've seen the amount of protests in London against all the lockdowns, no to the vaccines. And we've got a prime minister that gave the knee to BLM, was asking for more lockdowns since 2016, since we voted to leave the EU, which seems like a lifetime away, my friend. We are talking 10 years this year. He has done whatever he could to get us back in. That's what he wants to do, to get us back into the European Union by stealth, get us back into the single market, etc., without asking the people of this country. 17,410,752 people, with a majority of over a million, voted to leave the EU. I have said that number so many times, that's why I know it off by heart. But so this is to just give you a picture of where we're at. And let's go for it. If we talk about digital ID, there is a big pushback against that. But what people are finding out, like, for argument's sake, say you work in social work, or you are in administration for that kind of thing in the background, and you then would have to have what's called a DB check, DBS check, check if you can work with children and do all this kind of thing. And through the back door with this kind of thing, you've got to then have a picture taken. You might have to then start giving a fingerprint. Even though you are against this, it's coming in incrementally, Tony. We could take it head on, which people are, but incrementally, there's all of these kind of things going on. And then, as you are fully aware, when you're using the internet, when we're using the platforms, it's other places, it'll be about access. Oh, could you go through this security check? Then another security check. We're finding that with bank accounts. But you know as well as I do that Ursula von der Leyen, the excuse of the head of the European Union, terrible woman, is basically, it's like, oh, we're pushing digital ID. We've got Lagarde, head of the European Bank. We're pushing digital ID. We're going to roll this out. It's coming at us like a steam train. And as Charlie Vector 19er showed us who was going to roll over, basically, and go, oh, yes, we may be Christians, but we need to shut our churches down, and we need to wear masks, and we need to have vaccine 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in benitum, because that's the kind of thing that Jesus would do, of course. I don't apologize for the cynicism. But, yeah, so that gives you a little bit of an overview, Tony, of where we are at, and we're not in a good place whatsoever. And as I'm sure within New Zealand and New Zealand politics, you get rid of Jacinda Ardern, who then sits on the Earthshot charity for King William, being an advisor who I believe in 2023 in October is then over in Canada meeting, you know, Trudeau, Blair, Starmer. They're all the lefties, elitist, are together giving advice. And I think in many ways the politicians now would like us to have extremely short memories. But we all know what else is coming down the line as they're building. They're building this control grid. And as someone greater than me says, there's no political solution to a spiritual problem. And that is where we're at. We're looking at all the climate change, the cataclysmic stuff. I'm not saying I'm an expert on it, but I do believe we are under God's judgment. We have a political class that wouldn't even know that if it hit them on the head. They think they can build their utopian dream on Earth. So this is where we are at. And then if you ask me, I do passionately believe that we're in the end times and things are unfolding. But there are so many people within the church in the UK that would not agree with that, or think that everything is going to get better and we can roll it out. Tony, I'll take a breath, but I was just giving you a rough overview, if that helps and a good place to start.
So, yeah, my position is pretty much that I don't think it matters the world over what political party is in power. They're all sold out to the greater agenda of one world government through whatever means, and the control grid and all of that. So, you know, we change governments in whichever country it is, and all it does is it takes you a slightly different angle to the same destination, a different route, you know, whether it's a conservative, right-wing, yep, or left-wing government or whatever. It's still every single government in every country is going in that same direction, and it's an inevitable march, I think, towards what the Bible teaches. And you, right, I believe it's also the end times, and we're heading towards that beast system and the Revelation 13 scenario ultimately with the mark of the beast. And so people that think they can get answers through a political system and changing politicians and parties, and no, I don't think it's going to make any difference. And you look at, say, the United States, and you had a crazy left government under Biden and Harris, and were bringing in all sorts of things which, you know, Christians didn't like. And then Donald Trump comes along, seemingly, supposedly the opposite. But everything is marching towards the world government scenario with Trump faster even than it did under the left wing. It's just a different, you know, two wings of the same bird as far as I'm concerned, and I have no faith in politics in any country now. And when you mentioned Iran, you know, that's an interesting one, because if they do overthrow the government in Iran, who's going to take its place? And will it be any different, any better? You know, when you look at other countries that have had revolutions and overthrown governments, and you've got to see what has replaced them. So I can understand people in Iran, and everyone probably outside of Iran too, wants to see the Ayatollah's gone, you know. But in the end, what's going to replace it? Who knows?
I think the interesting thing with Iran, and here's a tie-up with Starmer over here, because it's unpopular to say, and if you haven't talked to Patrick Wood for a while, you'll have to get him on, of Technocracy News, and then he's talking about the trilateral, when he wrote books with A.C. Sutton, the trilaterals over Washington. And we're looking at the Trilateral Commission, you know, that comes about roughly, I think, 1973-74. And then you've got, of course, Rockefeller on that and all the rest. Mm. But Jimmy Carter, as far as I'm concerned, you've got Gerald Ford before that. Nixon goes, Ford comes in as this caretaker. Let's get everything back to normal in America after a rocky time. And then Carter comes in. We've got Zubrinsky then in the background, and all very much in the foreground, really, in regard to foreign policy. We've got Henry Kissinger still there, and very much so. And then the Trilateral Commission, and the Shah is deposed. You've got this country that was very liberal, very modern within the Middle East, and no women covered whatsoever in anything whatsoever, and there's freedom. And then Khomeini is in Paris, and of course Khomeini and the Shah knew each other for a long time. And then Khomeini is in Paris. And then in 79, no, they didn't support him. And the mullah then goes back to Iran, and the rest is history. But it's this whole thing of the red-green axis. And what people don't talk about, and dear Trevor Loudon, who wrote the great books, The Enemies Within in America, The Enemies Within with the headline of Obama, and then wrote a book about Keith Ellison, and that's all relevant to what's happening in Minnesota. And dear Trevor then writes about Starmer's links with the Trilateral Commission. Starmer going to, I think, Czechoslovakia as a young boy, all via the interesting in 1986. Concerned about his political leanings, but he was then a member of the Trilateral Commission from 2017-2022. No one talks about that over here, Tony, as a globalist body. No one talks about that. No one talks about the photos he's had with various people, the accusation of taking flights to America to meet Obama's AG. Whoops, sorry. Eric Holder. So all of this kind of thing, and people don't want to go there because they don't want to face the fact that we're rushing towards a global governance. You're absolutely right. And then we've got Trump doing certain things on the one hand, then doing other things on another. And this is why Patrick, good to talk to Patrick about this, but all this rush to all this collection of data, control grid. Data is the new power, new control. You are absolutely right. And then we get into Peter Thiel, relationships with J.D. Vance, deeply concerning. Then we get into Palantir and what they get up to. We can't deny this. And then as Patrick talks about and others, you know, the tech bros, all the people running technology and Elon Musk being one, all the PayPal bros. And this has to be looked at. And at times we're asking ourselves some very, very uncomfortable questions. And then you get, I'm not saying I'm an expert on this, John Heller is more than me, but we you know, you just wonder when there's scriptures talking about regions, 10 kings, how does this all roll out? Is this all the tech bros? Is this media platform? We look at Amazon, etc. So one of the biggest things about COVID for us as a nation is that within public service, it took the standards through the floor. There's been a complete redefining of that and how you do public service. Also wanting to change areas in regard to how councils run, mayors, maybe change certain constituency boundaries for members of parliament. There's so much behind the curtain, Tony, that is going on, but actually it's now in front of the curtain, referring earlier to the Fabian Society. So that is what is playing out. And what has always fascinated me, there seemed, and maybe you found this in New Zealand over COVID as well, I'm sure you did, and other people have around the world, is that there seem to be more people outside the so-called church awake to what's going on than actually inside the church, Tony. You know, that is a reflection that I really reflected on through that whole madness, and how people, as I say, they've just swallowed the Kool-Aid. So we are all, for those of us that are trying to pay attention to the signs of the times and what is going on, we are really working hard to do that. I mean, you and I haven't spoken since January 6th. All that is something I've been very much involved with, supporting a dear friend of mine and raising the awareness of that, and people going into court, having their constitutional rights completely suspended. And over here, within the UK, David Lammy, the excuse of a justice minister, has now been floating, I want to get rid of juries for quite a number of cases, maybe not for murder, maybe not for rape type cases, but I want to get rid of juries is a discussion that he is having. So we are seeing common law, as we saw under COVID, just being ripped up, people's rights. And then, of course, Tony, we've got a huge problem with illegal immigration. There's one other point I'll come to in a minute. It's not stopping. The Prime Minister said, I'll smash the gangs. I end up doing an impersonation of him. But it's not stopping. There are thousands and thousands of illegal immigrants coming into this country, unchecked, no passports. We don't know where they come from. And various NGOs are assisting with all of this. And we have more illegal immigrants in either hotels or other places than the British Army number for the personnel. So that doesn't stop. That is bankrupting us as a nation and costing us billions and billions of dollars, or pounds rather. Plus, we've been wanting to give the Chagos Islands away, that you may be aware of that. And it just goes on relentlessly. Oh, we'll give this money, we'll give that money. We've been chatting to the Chinese government that want to build a massive embassy in the middle of London. And where they want to build it is over a load of electrical cables that are passing email traffic into the city of London and all this kind of thing. And I don't know about you, but I can't possibly think what could go wrong. So this is where we are at. And there is hope, and the hope is in Christ. And this is our job. And our job is to preach the gospel, and our job is to point the way to Jesus. Because without him, with what's coming down the line, you're not going to get through it. Without having a faith in Christ, you are not going to get through this, in my humble opinion. And especially when we're talking about depopulation. We all remember, we remember the website Google and giving, you know, the population of this country is this, but it's going to decrease to this. And we're all going, well, how's that coming? And then the Charlie Vector 1-9er injections come along and all the effects of that, the deaths of that, that was shown in your beautiful country where people would go, and other brave people in your country where they'd go and film cemeteries and work out and say, well, have you looked at the death of the age of this person and how young they've been, and they're all dying off. It's just awful. So that is where we've got. And then we've got, you know, people that think, as I've said, within a sort of NAR-esque situation, that think they can turn all this around, and the Seven Mountain Mandate and all that, excuse me, and they think they can turn it around. And we've got people giving what they would call more prophetic words than Isaiah and all the prophets, and Obadiah and Nehemiah and all the prophets put together. The fact that most of these people missed, I'm not going to name anyone, they missed COVID, they missed all that. And they just think, oh, we can turn this all around. And then they use that term, don't they? Oh, God's doing a new thing and we're into a new season. Well, what God is doing is the Bible and the book of Revelations and the book of Daniel and other warnings. Why don't you pay attention to that? But yeah. But Tony, I'll take a breath. Sorry, there's a lot more to say there.
Yeah, so what is happening in the UK in terms of that digital ID and the progress towards that, and people not, I believe, is it 2029 where you won't be able to work unless you have the digital ID? Is that correct? Do you know?
That's what's being said. That's what's being mooted. And just to say to you that the digital ID, won't surprise you, was not in the manifesto of the Labour Party. It suddenly came out a few months ago. And of course, Tony Blair tried to bring that in, and it was resoundingly defeated when he was Prime Minister and everyone backed off from that. No, that's what they want to do. At the same time, I suppose it would be convenient to make sure that we're at war full-blown with Russia by then, God forbid, but that's what people are pushing for. Even if after the Ukrainian invasion, within 3-4 weeks, there was a peace plan. But, you know, Boris Johnson saying to Zelensky, no, you're not signing that. Not many people talk about that. So having a war, maybe that's another excuse for pushing digital ID, Tony. They are going full bore to do that, because it then ties in with what the European want to do, and as you are totally across all these issues in regard to a digital currency, etc. So
it's really interesting too, just watching what's unfolding with the US and Donald Trump taking over Greenland, and how the European Union is having having a backlash against that proposal, and who knows what's really going on with it, because, you know, you have Russia obviously fighting the Ukraine and saying their excuse was, we don't want NATO on our doorstep, so we've got to stop the Ukraine becoming part of NATO. And so they go in there, and then the West cries out, oh, invaders, you're invading in someone else's country and annexing a country, and that can't be done. And then you have basically the Americans at the moment doing that with Venezuela, and talking Greenland. That's all in the headlines today. And it's like, okay, it's okay if America does it, but it's not okay if Russia does it. But it's the same kind of thing, the big powers, you know, wanting to have hegemony over different countries, and it's like in the end, there is no real morality in it apart from who's got the most power, the biggest boots on the ground. And it's all, though, I believe, heading towards what you mentioned earlier about the 10 kings or the 10 regions. And so I see that whole thing with the Greenland and the US and then Mexico and all the other places on America as pushing towards that, which was one of the original goals, was to have an American Union as part of the 10 kings. So, and then you have Europe was another one. So, you know, it's a bit of a topsy-turvy game, but it is looking like we're heading in that direction of 10 regions.
I hear you loudly. And then if you do take Russia, you go back to, you know, an agreement in 1994 where we asked the Ukraine to give up their nuclear weapons, and America says, yeah, we promise to defend you. We've had the Minsk agreements, but even though they may deny that it's not in writing, but there is this discussion, of course, that Gorbachev said, I don't want you expanding NATO. Part of the agreement of that is so that there could be a union within West and East Germany where it could come together to allow that. We've also had the Orange Revolution in the Ukraine of 2014, all the fallout of that. And don't get me wrong, I'm not excusing what Russia did in 2022, February. And then there's been this discussion, it was supposed to be a short operation, then they're taking, you know, a vast swathes of Ukraine, and then you've got what's been happening in Crimea, the Donbass, 2014, turning around and saying that the people that on the Russian border, they're speaking Russian, then there's pressure for them not to speak Russian. Where has Zelensky come from? They get rid of the head of the country in 2014, I think, Poroshenko, who at one point was going, do I go to the European Union? No, I'll go back to Russia. So we then get rid of him, and then we have to chase various money back to Soros. I hear you loudly. Greenland is an interesting one because of its history. When you're going to name an American base after, call it the Thule base, I think, T-H-U-L-E. Yes, I think that throws up some interesting things. But it is also, you've used the word about the hegemony, and this is Russia and China want a bipolar world. They want their influence. Well, China have been pushing their influence all over the world with the Silk Road, Belt Road Initiative. That is unfolding, but America... This is where it is a mixed bag to me, but I think there's some genuineness as well, whereas turning around and going, well, Greenland, now what's happened even today where NATO was suddenly saying, well, I mean, Rutte, who's head of NATO, is saying, well, okay, I agree with Trump, President Trump, I'm going to thank him for it, which means we need to look at the security of Greenland, which, as you know, is a protectorate of Denmark. So these things can be said out there, and then NATO and people will realize that there's a gap in their defenses, and we've got to work out how to fill that. I don't necessarily think Greenland will be sold to the Americans. Maybe they could lease it, who knows. But it is about, depending on summer, winter, and then you can pass ships and submarines or ships through there, a lot easier. So there is so much up for grabs, and especially Tony as well, within the Europe, we've had what on the Russian side, some of the numbers are nearly a million of soldiers that have died. Ukraine, maybe 800,000, the devastation, and this could have been stopped a long time ago if my memory serves me correct. I think it was around about 2015 when we kick Russia out of the G8. We go back further, where at one point maybe around 2007, there was even a discussion about getting Russia into NATO. Don't tell me. Don't ask me how that worked, especially when you, it's interesting when Turkey is a member of NATO, which is a completely utter different subject as well, especially with their relation to what they've been doing in Syria. So it's vast. I'm one of those boring people where I'm trying to pay attention to all of this, where many people, maybe they don't care or they're not paying attention, or I think as the Bible says, people will carry on marrying, drinking and having a nice time and ignoring the signs that we're called to observe. You know, we're not date setting, but we are called to observe the seasons and observe the contractions that I do believe are happening. So there are lots of, if I dare say I do, and I'm not sitting here as some eschatological expert, but people may predict and think, well, this is going to happen in line and this is how I interpret this, which is totally understandable. Fair enough. Of course, we're not walking outside the Bible, but maybe certain events could end up happening all at once. You know, things are really, I believe, ramping up big time.
They certainly are, yeah. I mean, I'm looking even at the precious metals market, you know, gold and silver and the way they're going up. Like, this has never happened before, and there has to be real reasons why that's happening. And I think there's a lot of fear out there, and people are realizing that we're on the precipice of something really big. And obviously bringing things into a digital world is a part of that, as currencies are going to collapse, I think, and we're going to see, you know, economic turmoil. So they can shift us into that new system that they want. And but it's going to be backed with things like precious metals. And so, you know, right now that's becoming very obvious that that's moving fast upwards. And these things don't happen for no reason. And so, yeah.
Well, the price, as you say, the price of silver is going through the roof. And just to remind ourselves, I think 1935, 36, America comes off the silver standard. And then under Nixon, around about 73, it comes off the gold standard, if not just before that. And there's never, you know, it was supposed to be temporary, Never I've gone back, as you rightly say, you know.
Yes, but, you know, right now it is central banks and are accumulating the metals and the governments basically because they need it for infrastructure. You know, like silver is in every weapon. It's in every AI, you know, driven thing, robots, drones, solar panels. They need tons and tons and tons of it for their plans for this, you know, technology that's, which will be technocracy. And so it has to be accumulated. So governments, I think, are also really grabbing it for that. So whether it's China, you know, wanting it for, so they can have ascendancy, and or the US needs it and for their, all their, you know, plans for the military equipment they want to build. So this is, you know, I think being done largely to have holds of all of the silver as much as possible to use in weapons, and for, and then all the big tech companies need it for their smartphones and everything else, you know. So this is a very interesting time just watching this happening, and I think the general public will be pushed out of being able to get silver or gold pretty soon. It'll be unavailable through either price or even controls on it, because really they need it for big industry and for the military. And when all else fails, you go to war, as you mentioned. And
absolutely. You know, Tony, I was gonna say and switch it to you and say, you know, because I don't hear much about it, and I need to do more research into it. To say how is New Zealand? You know, Jacinda Ardern went, the other leader has slipped in. And are people waking up to the agenda and what's going on?
I think there's a lot of people that are, but it's like everywhere else, more of them aren't. I mean, Jacinda Ardern was so popular with so many people during that whole era, but now, you know, it's like everyone's, you know, you ruined our country type of thing. So yeah, so she's gone. She'll probably be, you know, might even end up as the head of the UN yet. So she's gone. And
well, that's a name I hadn't thought of. I have to say, a hat tip to you there. I hadn't thought of that one. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, that's she's being mooted as a possible the director for the UN. So we'll see what happens with that. But we got Christopher Luxon, who was supposedly more conservative, and the whole National Party in with a coalition here. But it's still it's gone in the direction of towards world government as well. And the same thing. And like I say, it doesn't really matter whether it's left wing or right wing or whatever, the push is still in the same general direction. Okay, they might stop some aspects of it and then they'll bring in some other ones, but it's still all going in that general direction. I think New Zealand's moving a bit slower than a lot of other countries, thankfully, but we'll see where that goes. But I think we're generally still going in that direction, and things are not great here economically. And that prices, inflation, all of that thing, sort of thing, is very obvious. But it's the same everywhere, and so I'm not hugely optimistic for where New Zealand's going either at the moment. And then people are sick of this national coalition government as well. So we're liable to get a Labor government again in the next election anyway. But as I say, to me, it's like it doesn't really matter what label they put on them, because it's people with more influence outside of the country that really call the shots. As you see, everyone's going in the same general direction, country upon country. So individual leaders of individual countries, I don't think, are the ultimate power. So anyway, I don't want to carry on too much longer. Our time's really run off, so if you have any other things that you want to like briefly mention before we look to wrap up, now would be the time to do it, Mark.
Well, I think just remember the tie-up between, you know, Canada, the UK, Australia, New Zealand. Just look at the tie-up of all those leaders and what all the policies that they're all trying to push at the same time, and particularly shutting down free speech and controlling the internet and the platforms. That is their desire. That's what they want to do. But thank you, Tony.
That's inevitable, though. That's why they want the digital ID and all of that, to be able to do that, so you won't be able to log into the internet without it, ultimately.
Absolutely.
It's definitely heading in that sort of general direction for sure. So if people want to find you, where do they find you online, Mark?
Well, thank you. I'm on Facebook, and then I have a podcast called The Sutherland Report, which I would love to get you on as a guest, which is on YouTube. It's on Rumble on YouTube. 5161 is the channel, but on Rumble, find me on The Sutherland Report. And on Twitter, on Sutherland RPT. So, thank you, Tony. That's where people can find me. So, thank you.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on again today, Mark. And it's been good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Cheers. And folks, remember our website is aminutetomidnight.com with midnight spelled MIDNIT. Please subscribe to us there as well, and we do run it 100% by donations, and I want to say thank you to the folks that donate to us, and you can do that at our website aminutetomidnight.com. and the music used, I've written, played and recorded. God bless, and God willing, we'll be back in a few days' time with another show.